This morning, we'll look at that passage that Dave just read from Matthew 13, and its parable of the sower is the foundational to every other parable that Jesus teaches. And he explains a little bit of why he uses parables. His disciples asking him, why parables? Why not just make it more plain? And he explains to them, well, it's because there are people who are not going to hear. Those who are just in the crowd and they're casually sort of interested, if they're just there for the show, I have heard Jesus is a miracle man, let's see if he's going to do that. Or I've heard he feeds people, let's see if he's going to do that. But they're not really hungry, then they're not going to hear. The parable is going to just kind of fly past them. It's not going to make sense. But for those who are hungry, those who come to Jesus and say, I am in need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who come to him acknowledging their need, they are going to be satisfied. The hungry are going to be satisfied. We can sometimes come to Jesus also with our own categories of thought. This is how we've made sense of the world. And then we want Jesus to fit into those categories. And so for those people, his words are not going to land. But for those who come to him and say, God, you tell me the categories. I don't even know how to think, what to think. Will you please tell me? Then to them will be given the words of the kingdom. So Jesus, this takes place, and he's gathered before a large crowd. He's sitting in a boat. So if you imagine this, he's in a boat, he's on the water, and the crowd is gathered around him up to and maybe even in the water. People are gathering to hear him teach. And so even as he's giving this parable, he's kind of doing the parable. He is scattering the seed. And among them, there are people whose hearts are all these different types of soil. The soil represents our response to the words of God, or what Jesus actually says when he explains this parable in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's what he was teaching. In other words, this isn't just good advice. This isn't some new teaching. This is an announcement of a kingdom from the king. So what he has to say has authority. And yet there are those who do not receive it as such. They see it as, okay, maybe that's interesting. He talked about a farmer sowing seed. That's nice, but those who come to him hungry, eager to receive, it finds some good soil. So Jesus is doing this, and a parable is it's kind of thrown alongside. It's a teaching that helps to illustrate a point. And Jesus begins it by saying, a sower went out to sow. Have you ever noticed how the energy in a room changes whenever someone starts telling a story? It's not just propositional statement, but when someone starts telling a story, I was in Walmart on Tuesday. All of a sudden, everybody kind of perks up because I've been in Walmart on a Tuesday. Yeah, this relates. So that's what Jesus did. He's bringing the words of the kingdom to people in a way that they can understand, using parables that they might see, they might turn and understand and embrace this king and his kingdom. But he begins this story, and then he explains in between the parable and when his disciples said, why do you use the parable? He explains it later. But the reason he does that is only those who are given new hearts can understand things of God, but they're given further instruction. But those who've not received the ability to understand, they're denied that truth. It just bounces off, or it kind of flies past them. And then he quotes Isaiah and explains that even Jesus, the greatest teacher, whose motives were pure, nothing about his teaching could be criticized. It was perfect. And yet, as he scattered seed, there were some that their hearts were hard. There were others whose hearts were too crowded and rocky. There were others whose hearts were filled with thorns, and they went away. We see this all through Jesus's teaching. We see it in John as well, when he talked about bread. And then eventually some people were like, we just like some more bread, please. And they go away disappointed. But his goal in using his parables is to separate, to sift those who will sit and listen, and those who don't, or those who are are truly hungry, and those who are just marginally interested in to see if Jesus will fit into their categories. And so we see these four different responses to the Word of God, or in Jesus' words, the Word of the Kingdom. And so the first that we see is, we see it in verse 4, as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And your eyes can jump down to verse 19, where he explains that soil. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. In other words, it just remains on the surface. There's a path. If people walk through a field continuously, it gets hard in that place, and the seed can't penetrate into the ground. The gospel bounces off like that seed, and it says, Jesus says that the evil one snatches it away. It doesn't just stay there indefinitely, but the evil one, the devil, actually comes and takes that word away. So people sometimes hear God's word and just dismiss it out of hand. It just bounces off of them. So the obstacle here to the word of God is a hard heart, and then the devil just takes that word away. It doesn't linger and maybe later find its way back. The evil one takes it away. The second response is that of rocky ground. And we see that in verse 5. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up since they had no depth. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. And your eyes can bounce down to verse 20, the explanation. As for the seed on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So this is different. Hard soil, the seed doesn't even penetrate. Rocky soil, the seed at first takes root, but it can't go very far because there's rocky soil. Our yard is full of rocks. And we've tried to plant some things over the years. And anytime we do, when you first put the shovel in the ground, you hear the clink of a rock. And then so you have to get that rock. And it's usually not just like gravel. We're talking rocks. We're talking big rocks. So you get that thing and you keep filling around until... And so to plant this little plant, you've unearthed some huge thing, you know, the size of a printer, and now you've got to go get more soil. It's just rocky soil. So if we had put that plant in and just kind of scratched off the surface, it would look okay at first. But there's no place for those roots to go down. And so when the sun comes, the thing that would give it life, it actually scorches it because it has no root. And so initially there's some positive green things growing up. But when the implications of the seed following Jesus, when we realize that it's actually costly, it's going to be difficult, or maybe just the dailiness of following Christ, it's kind of boring, or there's not a big show. If our hearts are kind of superficial or shallow, when things get difficult, the seed does not take root. So here the obstacle to the words of the kingdom is our own flesh. Rocky soil, where what we want is at odds with the kingdom. There's other things there that are blocking it from taking root. And then a third type of soil. Verse 7. This is thorny soil. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. That gets explained, verse 22. As for what was sown in the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. So here he says the cares of the world, especially riches, deceitfulness of those things, that we might hope in other things for our good. Those things are like thorns that choke out the word. It can't it can't produce fruit because it's being choked out. So when we care for the world, those things, those loves prove more powerful than love for Christ and the words of the kingdom. So that the root of that seed, it doesn't have space to expand, to germinate, to grow, to get fruitful. It gets crowded out. So all three of those soils, the hard soil on the path, the rocky soil, and the choked out thorny soil, they're not followers of Christ. Initially, they may look like that, but they're not. It is, I've heard it said, it's not the profession of faith that saves us, it's the possession of faith that saves us. It is, we hear, we confess Jesus is Lord, and then there's evidence of that profession in how we live. We are justified by faith alone, but that faith is never alone. Fruit follows that. So then we see the good soil. Verse 8, some seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then in verse 23, he explains, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Or in Mark 4, this parable, he says, the one who hears the word and accepts it. And he indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. So with all the soil, the proof is in what happens to the word, how we respond to the words of the kingdom. The one who hears and understands, hears and accepts, bears fruit. Now, that doesn't mean, as we come to this, that there are three bad types of people and then one good type of people. By nature, there's no good soil in us. There's no fertile soil in our hearts. If there is, it's only God that makes soil good. I love Ephesians 2. Paul makes this really clear. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Nothing fruitful in our hearts. But verse 4, but God, being rich in his mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised with him, he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's no one saying, the soil of my heart was better than others. This is a work of God. If we hear, if we have ears to hear, if we have any responsiveness to him, we just give thanks to God for his grace, for pouring out his kindness to us, for opening our ears, for opening up blind eyes, for quickening a dead heart that could not respond apart from his work in us. So good soil is a heart that has been changed by the Holy Spirit. And it's seen in fruitfulness. As that word comes, it produces things. It changes us. And people are going to be able to see the evidence, that fruit, because of the seed that takes root. And notice that there's varieties of fruitfulness. Some are yield 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I don't know much about farming, but I've read enough commentaries to say each of these are just astronomical numbers. The idea of reaping 30-fold is unbelievable. The idea of 60-fold, I mean, that's almost laughable. So the idea of 100-fold, getting in a year's crop enough to set aside for the next 100 years. That's unbelievable to imagine, isn't it? But what's the difference then? 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold? Maybe the most important thing this morning. This parable is not a fatalistic description of soils, but this is an invitation to hear the word of the Lord and to join God in this work of cultivating the soil. In other words, Jesus is naming those obstacles and being specific about them so that we can see them for what they are. We can identify them. When they start cropping up in our own hearts, we can recognize them and do something about them with the help of the Spirit. As Peter read from Romans 8, there are those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit's going to reveal, wait a minute, I'm not responding the way that I need to. There's these different obstacles that are keeping God's word from really taking root in my own heart. He's naming the effects of these types of soil so that we can tend to them. There's hard soil, there's crowded soil, there's shallow soil, so we can join God in his work of cultivating the soil. And it's, notice too, this is not a once and done activity. Just the gospel is presented, you move on. No, but this is a continual work that we do of dealing with the soil, dealing with our own hearts as we come before the Lord, as we hear his word. Because over time, soil gets affected by things. We homeschool our kids, and so as part of that, we might want to make sure they're physically active. We have PE, and so for a couple of the kids, they do regular running. Juliana runs as well, but they, on our driveway, it's, you know, it's hard asphalt, so they prefer running just beside the driveway. There's a lamppost up our driveway, and if you run up and down 7 times, that's a mile. So several of them do that 21 times a day. But instead of being on the side, the asphalt, they run in the grass. And so you can imagine about 2 feet off of the driveway, there is a path. And it is indented. I mean, the grass is up on either side. This is a path. Because you've got that many feet going up that many times, it creates a path. But then over time, that path got too hard for them. So they decided to move to another path about 2 feet further to the right. So now that first path has started to grow back in. So it is with our own hearts. They can get hard. They can get just patterns in our own thinking. So what do? We act by the Spirit's help. We recognize that and say, Lord, I want to have a heart that's responsive to you. I've got ways of thinking. I want to make sure they're congruent with you and that they're not hard and keeping out your seed when it comes. There are rocks that sometimes work their way up through the soil, especially here in the mountains. Through the winter, as the ground freezes and then thaws, sometimes a rock that was underneath the ground, it starts to kind of come up a little bit. You know it the first time you mow and you scalp that thing, but they can work their way up. Rocks can get into the soil. Juliana said I could share this story, so I'm not getting in trouble with her. But she, years ago in college, was in Honduras working at an orphanage. And it was a cold day, or kind of a rainy day, and she had a pink rain jacket that she really liked. And she noticed a young girl there about her same size. Again, people were getting wet, and the thought occurred to her, well, I could give her my rain jacket. But she just said, well, no, it's a cute rain jacket. I really like this jacket. And so she didn't give it to her. It was a $10 jacket. And then after that, she brought it home and it sat in her closet. And it was a reminder to her, like, what was it that I was so attached to in that jacket that I was unwilling? God was working in my heart, moving me to be generous, and I didn't do it. And I regret that. But that was a good $10 lesson. Why is it that we, our own flesh, it'll hang on to things rather than obeying when God prompts us to do something? That jacket was a rock that was keeping us from hearing God's word and responding in obedience in her heart. So thank you for that $10 pink rain jacket lesson for us. I don't know what the rocks look like in your own heart, but there's a thing that can keep the seed from taking root. Thorns can grow. All kinds of concerns about the world. I noticed this recently, as we kayaked last night down the New River part of it, and I used to be a more fun-loving guy until I became a dad. And now I'm just aware of threats. I'm aware of risk. I'm aware of if this happens, then we're going to have to, somebody's going to be walking in the wet clothes and whatever. I'm just aware of those things. And that's good to be responsible. And yet, the concerns of the world can start to choke out, and we start thinking, well, yes, I know the Lord saved me, but it's up to me to be responsible with my finances, to take care of, you know, all these different things, instead of realizing the same Lord who has given me life is going to sustain my life. I can trust him. Not let these other thorns come in and start choking out as if I'm responsible in all these ways. So it's a subtle thing, and they can come in little by little, but over time they crowd out the good seed that could take root. So this is an ongoing cycle of cultivation, preparing the soil, regularly tending to it. So again, at this moment, Jesus is the sower. He is enacting this parable as he is scattering the seed. For any who want to hear him, he's on the boat, there's a large crowd, and he is scattering the seed. From Isaiah, we know that the power of the preaching, it's not in the preacher or in the hearer, but it's in the Spirit of God Almighty, who alone, he said, his word, it's like rain that falls on the earth, and it doesn't return without accomplishing that which he purposes. So this is a work of God. And so Jesus sows widely, and he scatters broadly, and that in itself is instructive to us, meaning it's not our job to be selective and think, you know, I don't know that they really have words to hear this, or I don't know if they're the right, you know, whatever. It's Jesus was scattering broadly. That also means it's not my job to sample the soil or to consider the weather and the timing, but to sow freely, trusting his word, it's going to accomplish some things, because we're also confident that he is interested in seeing growth, and he is going to be at work in people's lives. This word is effective, and in good soil, it produces much fruit. So those who have ears to hear this morning, hear the warnings of these different types of soil. Ask God to reveal these things, and by his Spirit, join him in that work of cultivating, of uprooting the rocks, getting rid of the thorns, those hardened paths, asking him to soften the soil so that his word can come in. Again, this is foundational to all the other parables, because it's how we respond to the word of God. So, Father, we do pray that you would work in each of our hearts, recognizing simultaneously there may be areas that are hard, areas that are rocky, areas that are thorny, and are at different times. So, Holy Spirit, would you reveal these things? Would you remove what doesn't need to be there? We want to be a fruitful people. Thank you that you still scatter seed, that you are still giving us your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus today. Amen.